What is creative nonfiction?
The simplest answer is that it's shaping the truth. So you're using fictional techniques like dialogue and creating character and plot and pacing and all these things that fiction writers use. You're still telling the truth in a journalistic way, but you're adding drama to it because you're using literary techniques.
So what gets writers into trouble every so often in this genre?
When they lie, that's what gets them into trouble. I mean, nobody has an objective view of reality, but you still have a responsibility to, you know, tell the story as, you know, you best remember it. And that's very different than just out and out saying something happened that didn't happen.
When you look at novels, at the opening of novels, sometimes you see a disclaimer, a legal disclaimer that says, you know, all the characters in this novel are fictional and any resemblance between actual people is coincidental. But of course, for a lot of writers, their characters are, the resemblance is not coincidental. They're inspired by actual people. Isn't the truth of that claim also somewhat complicated?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, this goes back to the beginning of literature. So, sure, that's complicated. I mean, that's more complicated just, you know, for the writer per se. I don't think it's as complicated in the public sphere. It's funny. I've taught fiction classes where everybody just wants to tell their own stories, and then I teach nonfiction classes where everybody starts making things up, and they want to know how much they can make up. So it's kind of a strange sort of psychology.
You know, one of the techniques that's employed in Three Cups of Tea and in other memoirs and books of this genre is time compression, where
Right. They'll,
you know, something happened over a period of time, you know, say repeated visits to a place, and they'll write it as if all the key elements happened at one time. How do you feel about that as a technique?
Because you're a nonfiction writer, you know, life doesn't happen in this dramatic narrative arc. And so, you know, I understand the desire to want to do that kind of time compression, and I do it in my own writing. And like I said, it goes back to that idea of you're telling the truth, but you're shaping the truth. So you're giving it a dramatic shape for the sake of the story. And I don't have a problem with that. The one thing I would do is I would say up front, you know, in the acknowledgments page of the book, you know, I have compressed time here for the sake of the story. If you just make that disclaimer up front, then I think people will be very forgiving. I mean, this is what makes, you know, creative nonfiction a very interesting genre right now. You know, you have people on one end, like Scott Russell Sanders, who say you can't change anything. You know, absolutely, you have to be completely journalistically true to what happened. And then you have people like Annie Lamott on the other end saying, you know, I can do what I want. They're just very interesting decisions being made on the part of writers.
Does the format in which people experience a story affect how accurate they expect it to be? Like, if Greg Mortensen had written the same story as a screenplay that people were seeing at their movie theaters, would 60 Minutes have come after him?
No. There's something about seeing something in print and having somebody tell you this is true, where, you know, you as a reader experience that. And that's a much different experience than just, you know, sitting back at a movie and, you know, watching something like, yeah, this is 2 hours of my life, whatever, it'll be entertaining. But with a book, you're making a commitment to it. And I think, you know, when people pick up a piece of creative nonfiction or any kind of nonfiction, they want to believe that they're going to learn something that really is true. And when they find out, well, that's not quite what happened, you know, there's just this sense of my trust has been betrayed here, and that's wrong.